WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present House to House with your hosts, Brandon and Melissa K. House. From cooking, decor, tablescapes, home improvement, and on-location reports that highlight American history, ingenuity, and free market capitalism that makes America great. And now, here are your hosts, Brandon and Melissa K.
And welcome to another edition of House to House. I'm Brandon House.
And I'm Melissa Kay.
And today the show is going to the dogs, or we could call this from dog house to house, because we are at, We are at Duck Hill Kennels with Robert Milner, who has been raising dogs for 50 years. We are in Somerville, Tennessee. This is the country out here, folks. We're about an hour and a half outside of Memphis, and this is where Delta was born and raised. Many of you have seen Delta on our broadcast. We make sure she's a big feature of the show because she's a big part of our family. She sleeps right in between us each and every night. She's spoiled rotten, and we love her. She's the best lab. She is a smart dog. She's the best lab we've ever had, and she came from right here. In fact, as I look around, a lot of these dogs look a lot like her. But this is a great story because everybody loves puppies. Can you not? I mean, who cannot love puppies and dogs? And if you're not a dog person, what's wrong with you? But reality is, this is more than that. This is also a story about the free market system that we love to celebrate, because Mr. Milner here, he's been training bomb-sniffing dogs. So maybe, perhaps some of you have been kept safe at a major sporting event or a political rally or at a shopping mall by one of his dogs that's been trained. So here's a perfect example of a guy who puts his capital at risk, and starts a dog breeding program and raising and training dogs, and provides a service, a national security service as well, but also family dogs and hunting. So we're happy to be here. We're going to be joined here by Mandy, just like the song from by Barry Manilow. And this is Maury, right? And she's from Minnesota, up by Bemidji originally. So that's pretty amazing. And we have a lot of folks listening there. This obviously is our doctor. Well, it should be Dr. Robert Milner, but this is, you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
We just gave you an honorary degree.
I'll take his paycheck too.
Well, Melissa, what do you think? We look around, we see dogs that look like Delta, don't we?
Yeah, I've seen quite a few that look just like her.
Well, you've been doing this for 50 years. You originally were doing shock training, shock collar?
Compulsion training, we like to call it, politely.
Compulsion
training, yeah.
But you decided after 9/11, you had so many orders for bomb-sniffing dogs, you couldn't train enough of them fast enough. Is that right?
Want me to tell you a story?
Yes.
Okay. After 9/11, the Memphis Fire Department deployed a urban search and rescue task force to the Pentagon, which has a dog component in it. And when they got back, they called me up and said, please come fix our dog program. It's broken. Dogs didn't do very well. And I said, okay. And I was doing it as a volunteer, and I started training these guys. I recruited 50% cops and firefighters for dog handlers, and got new dogs, young ones, and taught these guys how to train them. And I got about 2 or 3 months down the pike, and I looked at our progress and said, this is going to take 18 months to get done. And I said, that's not acceptable. And I said, it's probably the training model, which was compulsion, make them do it.
Which is, again, using a shock collar.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, I'm going to look around and find a better one. And I looked at the Navy's Dolphin program, and which had had millions of dollars spent on it, and I said, this looks like a good program. And it was all reinforcement, all reward training.
So you use a clicker, because I know that the night we came to get Delta, January 15th, 2015, and you had this clicker, and you were making her do little tricks and everything. I had never seen anyone work a dog like that. That dog was probably, I don't know how many months old, but
she was about five months old.
Yeah.
I think she was about four.
And she was just performing like amazing.
She was so well behaved.
She was good.
So you were able. She was really well trained until I spoiled her rotten. No, I still have the clicker. But she basically uses a clicker on me. She controls me. I perform for her.
But she still will do the.
She knows the clicker.
If we get it out, she sits right away.
She knows it because she knows a treat's coming. But when you flipped over following that Navy model of using a clicker, how they were training dolphins and positive reinforcement, you were able to train what percentage of dogs increase from when you were using the shock collars?
I was able to train them. I went from a success rate of probably 70 to 75 to a success, 100% success rate on the dogs. And the training time decreased by 300%.
Wow.
So you're able to train three times the amount of dogs using their positive reinforcement.
Three times faster with new trainers and new dogs.
So not just three times faster, but you are also getting 100% proficiency.
Yes, yes.
So tell me about, from a national security standpoint, after 9/11, bomb-sniffing dogs. Where do your what agencies are buying your dogs? Where are your dogs going? Because some of these folks watching this broadcast right now, they may be coming in contact with your dogs, walking past them, or being in a building that's being kept safe because of your work.
Well, anything that has an odor that you can detect, they go into those jobs. They go into bomb dogs, search and rescue dogs with FEMA to find buried victims in structural collapses. They invasive species with USDA for sniffing out invading species like giant snails in Florida or the pythons down in the Everglades.
Wow. Or
you can train them to sniff out any of those things.
What do you like working with better, dogs or people?
Dogs. Much prefer the dogs.
Why is that? I know you got to have an answer.
They never talk back to you.
They never talk back.
Kind of like why some people enjoy being around their dogs better than their teenagers, right?
Yes, yes.
So do you have a lot of dogs as pets?
Say again.
Do you have a lot of pets as dogs?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've got five of them in the house.
Yeah, I was going to say. You keep.
Well, if
you
want to
keep them all?
Yeah, here's my story on the dogs. If you lock your wife and your dog in the trunk of your car and leave for 2 hours and come back, guess who still loves you?
That's good. That's good.
Hurt you.
Yeah, you're going to be in trouble with your wife, but that's a great one. I'm going to have to use that one. All right, so these are your trainers here, right?
Yes.
So you train them.
Maury's the manager? She's the assistant manager, and we have some more trainers running around somewhere.
And you, how many acres you have here?
200
acres. And you train them on how to take what you do, and then they duplicate you.
Yes, yes.
Okay. You also have a class you teach here, don't you? Tell me about the class you teach.
I do a two-day class once a month. And I put it on Zoom as well. And it's all positive training. And it's really designed to change the culture of the viewer. Because that's the biggest problem with dog training today is the culture is poisoned a little bit. And they need to quit making the dog do the stuff and learn how to let the dog make the decision and get paid for it.
And paid for it with a reward. So what you told me on the phone is you're trying to really leave a legacy of switching from shock collar treatment to clicker. This is a legacy you want to leave.
Yes, yes, definitely.
How many dogs a year are you training and putting out for, say, just from the standpoint of bomb-sniffing dogs or government contracts?
I would say government maybe 50, search and rescue maybe 20 or 30. I think the government's getting ready to go real up pretty high because they've got a requirement coming for 100% inspection of air cargo.
Oh, wow. 100% wow. Inspection of air cargo. That's good to hear, and that will increase it. Let's talk about the family watching today who's maybe in, your old stomping grounds as well as mine, Minnesota, although I'm from here originally. I just got moved up there with a family transfer when I was a kid. But I realized it was cold and came back. But we got a lot of folks listening in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. Of course, there's trainers up there, but I get my dog from you. I have had a couple dogs from up there, but my last dog is so great. This is where I'm coming for all my dogs. So let's say a family's watching today and they want a good hunting dog. What kind of hunting dog do you train?
Wonderful hunting dog. It's, again, positively trained. He's very steady, very affectionate, pleasant to live with. I firmly recommend that they raise the dog in the house, because it makes for much better communication between dog and person, which is the biggest problem people have with dogs, is that people don't know how to communicate with them very well.
So you're kind of a dog whisperer.
Yes.
He's a dog communicator.
So tell me, what kind of dogs are you training? Are you training dogs for quail hunting, pheasant hunting, all the above?
All the above.
And
tell her about the handler training we were doing right now.
The handler training you're doing.
Body language. So we started. So we started working on the trainer's acting with the right body language. It's really hard because of a trainer's tight. So Mr. Robert has a couple of drills that we practice using different muscles to practice, because just like anything else, this is a sport or an event, so to speak. So if you don't practice those muscle memories, you can't do it right.
So are you telling me the dog is watching your body language?
Always.
That's his language.
Right.
That's his language, yes. You ever heard him say anything?
Nope.
But you've seen him say stuff.
Let me tell you about my dog, Delta, which came from here.
That didn't take much, did it?
It sure didn't. My dog, Delta, is so attuned to what I'm doing.
More so than any of our other labs.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
she lays at my feet when I host my radio show every day, 1 to 2 on 53 stations. When I say to the guest and I'm done and I say, thanks for listening, take care, she knows that word, take care, because I say it every day. So she knows I'm going off the air. But she knows I usually sit and talk to my board operator for a minute or two. And she knows when I'm done talking to him, and when she can tell when that conversation's wrapping up, and she will stand up off her bed because she's listening to what I'm saying and she's watching my body language, because she knows that I have to go grab this little stylus pen, and the stylus pen is what I use to then touch the screen and turn everything off. She watches me for me to grab that stylus pen, and she's listening. So she's reading my body language. That dog is so stimulus response trained that our kids, when we would go to bed at night, would text her to say, I'm at the back door, to let them in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that if the text goes off at 11:30, 11:45, she gets up and goes right to the back door. All she had to do is hear the ding of the text, and she knew what to do.
Yeah, well, they're pretty smart. And that's what the positive training does, allows them to be smart and allows them to get paid for being smart. And then they'll keep being smart.
And get paid could be anything from a treat to getting to play with a tennis ball or what?
Yeah. To a pet, to an ear rub.
Whatever the dog wants.
Whatever the dog considers a reward.
How long does it usually take to train a dog to be clicker trained effectively? Is it
about? To
respond
to the clicker?
To respond to the clicker, yeah.
One session.
Wow.
So they associate that click with something positive in that reward, whatever it might be.
If the trainer's done their job right, yes.
Wow.
Have you seen personally, as trainers trained by Mr. Milner here, have you seen the difference between training yourself as well from a shock collar? Because I always felt bad about the shock collar. I have to admit, I used the shock collar in my first lab, but that's the way that dog was trained. And now the clicker training, I just hated using that shock collar. And so because I felt bad about it, I didn't do it, which meant then my training was bad because I didn't want to use it. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. I never saw a shock collar, but we've watched Mr. Robert take a young gun dog and within the first session have them go out and do a memory and be introduced to a whistle stop.
Wow. Absolutely. All right, so before we do a little demonstration, anything else you'd like to tell us?
Well, the essence of all of this training is to communicate to the dog what you want first, which is with body language.
So not to confuse the dog. So what you're telling me is that most people confuse the dog.
Yes. Most people can't shut their mouth. Mm-hmm. And all that noise comes out of it means nothing to the dog. And if you will be quiet, keep your mouth shut, the dog will learn 10 times faster.
So when you guys are training, there's not a lot of talking going on at all, just that clicker.
Zero, except for this whatever signal I'm using for that lesson, like the dog's name to come or...
Like when we picked up our dog, you had trained it that when we did this, that meant to sit.
Yeah.
So there was not even the command of sit. There was just, don't use a lot of words.
No words until the behavior's already learned. The dog doesn't speak English, so you have to do the...
That's the only way they can know what you want, is have them figure out how to get them to perform a behavior and then put the word on it and pay them.
You know, one thing, Melissa, I know you've appreciated, and anyone watching that wants to get a dog from you guys, you fly them all over the world, right?
Yes.
Fly them over the world?
Yes.
So certainly in the U.S. is not a problem. And you're shipping them from one end of this country to the other.
Correct.
And your phones ring off the hook, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you're going to get...
Especially recently.
Why recently? Because everybody wants a dog with all this going on?
Coronavirus.
They all want a dog?
They all want a dog, yeah.
It's comfort.
They want to... some more company at home.
Well, I notice a lot of kids today, and a lot of people today have anxiety, they say, and they have anxiety pets, they have comfort pets. So I would venture guess from that standpoint alone as well, your business is shooting up because a lot of these teenagers today, you know, are running into more and more young people, high school, college kids that have a dog, and that dog's going everywhere with them as a comfort dog.
Yeah, and a dog is a better character builder in a teenager than anything else you can think of, probably.
Why?
Because it teaches the kid to structure his time in a non-authoritarian manner. And he starts, if he's got to feed the dog, he'll start getting more self-disciplined.
It also teaches him a little more compassion and gentleness, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely. Best thing in the world you can do.
Give a kid a dog.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. That's why I got three of them. one for each kid. But reality is we want to see some of this. So what? How do you want to take it from now? Should we bring a dog out here and film a little demonstration?
You want to do a puppy or you want backup?
The puppy.
You want a puppy?
All right. He wants a puppy. What is your website, by the way?
DuckHillKennels.com.
DuckHillKennels.com. DuckHillKennels.com. You also put it on YouTube. You got a lot of YouTube videos.
Yes, lots of them. Again, that's a much better communication medium than a book. It's hard to see behaviors in a book.
Yeah, it is.
Right. But with video, you can look at it and boom, you got it.
Melissa, I know one of the things you appreciate is that Delta, when she goes outside to play frisbee or tennis ball or whatever, she's very aggressive, loves it. But when she comes in the house, we never had to really train her. When she comes in the house, she knows to just chill out for the most part. Yeah. Is that part of your breeding?
That's part of the breeding, yes.
How old is this one here?
He's about 5 weeks.
5 weeks old. That's his mom back there with his little litter mates. And this is a boy or girl?
Whoops.
You got to check, do you?
Boy.
That's a boy. All right. And... this could be a bomb-sniffing dog. It could be a family hunting dog. We have no idea what this dog will.
Search and rescue dog.
Search and rescue dog.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I've got some
she's
firefighters coming
from
California next week to talk about search and rescue dogs.
Wow. So coming all the way from California to look at search and rescue dogs from Duck Hill Kennels. That's amazing.
That's
boy,
wonderful.
This is very rewarding what you do.
Oh, it is. I love it.
I can tell you love it. Even my wife said, you know, we'd like to have some land and raise some dogs. It's hard work, so people need to make sure they understand. But from the surface, it's very appealing.
Oh, you get to spend the day
exactly
with
right.
Oh, these sweet puppies.
Exactly right.
Then why don't you come on over and have her come sit down?
Tell us about that mat.
That is a place board.
Oh, yes, a place board. It's a training aid, if you will. Dogs that get payments, a lot of payments on a place board, become very attracted to it. So you can get them to go anywhere you want if you put the place board there first, because they expect to get paid on it. So it's a communication device.
Did I just hear the clicker?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Oh, the clicker is a marker, and you can think of it as an IOU. And an IOU and a what?
And it's an IOU, and it marks the spot.
And a marker, yeah, mm-hmm. good. It marks a very precise behavior. It's a very short sound, and it tells the dog, that's exactly the behavior I want. I'm going to pay you as soon as I can get my hand down there. So it gives you very precise timing. And she's just increasing the duration of the sit now.
You just tell it to lay down?
No, nope, but she's going to reward
But
that.
She's going to say lay down and reward him anyway.
Good. Wait a minute. There you go.
There, pay. Down. a good trainer.
Nice hip roll.
When he recognizes a behavior that he wants, he pays it. The hip roll is rolling his butt over to the side. There, he's got a rolled over hip. He's right there.
He's not going anywhere,
he's
right?
He's not going anywhere. He's made a decision to stay there. That's a sign that they're relaxed.
And they're paying attention.
Yeah. Very good. Delta she taught you well.
Yeah.
Can you run the course with her?
She's so cute, though. She does look just like Delta.
Do we have another one the same size?
How long is a average puppy, like under 4 months attention span?
Under 4 months, mm-hmm. it's going to be 3 minutes. The training session should be 1 to 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. If he gets it done in 30 seconds, stop and put him up. If it takes 2.5 minutes, mm-hmm. you're fine. If you hit 3 and he hadn't done it yet, you quit and you put him up.
And you only
come
do
back tomorrow.
One time a day.
Wow. I will bore you with the University of Copenhagen research project that they did in 2002 and took a group of 50 beagles and divided them into 4 groups and trained a behavior of getting a basket and stay there.
You want me to take him?
Yeah. And the groups were labeled W1, which was one mm-hmm. session a day, 1 day a week. Mm-hmm. W3, which is 1 day a week, 3 sessions on that day. D3, which was 5 days a week, mm-hmm. 3 sessions on each of those days. And D1, which is 5 days a week, 1 session on each of those days.
Wow.
And the dogs that did the best mm-hmm. were W1.
So one time a day?
One time a day, once a week.
Wow, one time a day, once a week? So you're saying that dog can remember that for a whole week?
They don't forget. With positive training, they don't forget. That's another benefit.
So one time a day for 1 week, those dogs did better than ones being trained all the time.
Trumped three times a day, 5 days a week.
You need to train other dog trainers in what you're doing.
I'm trying.
Yeah. So you're now training the trainers.
Well, he needs to because you have a great model.
I agree.
Most people need to be doing this. I don't.
The problem is that the dog sector is kind of superstitious, and it's real hard for them to let go of those things.
Right.
They want to go do it the old way, the way they've always done it. They don't want to learn.
Yeah.
Do you have people coming to you asking?
Kind of like masks.
Yeah, really.
I like that.
All right, so what she's doing now is going to take him through this course. Tell me what she's doing here.
Well, she's taking him through some unsteady swinging pallets so that he gets used to poor footing. And he's going around the corner and going through a long, narrow pipe that's swinging. So, again, unsteady footing, darkness, et cetera. Then we taking him across a little swinging bridge that's very unsteady that he can poke his foot through. Again, this is teaching agility, basically. And this, an elevated walkway with grading on it so that he's 10 or 15 feet above the ground and got poor footing, and we get them very comfortable with that when they're a puppy.
And this is all, again, for rescue, search and rescue dogs as well. And
this is for their future occupation, basically, for the scent detection dogs. Search and rescue and bomb dogs both have to be comfortable in all these kind of situations. So,
and we could see that puppy was working to get to the end, to get to that bowl of food.
Yes.
You're watching the food.
So you work these dogs a lot when they're hungry. It's kind of hard to work them after they've had a full meal. So you're working them before they've had a full meal.
Yeah, they work a lot harder when they're hungry.
So do people watching at home, if they want to work their dog, don't try to do this right after you fed the dog.
No, that's a bad time to do it. It won't work as well. So.
And the best time of day is what time of day to train a dog? Morning, afternoon, night?
When the person is at the mellowest stage of the day.
The person, not the dog.
The person, not the dog.
So it comes back again and again that most of the bad training is not the dog, it's the person.
It's the person, yep.
So the dog really picks up on the person's moods and...
Yes, and and the person communicates the wrong thing when they're unhappy.
I've noticed that none of your trainers have used a harsh toned voice. No, or none of that yelling at it. Everything has been a... only thing I've heard is either they ignore the bad behavior and there's no reward for it, or praising of the good behavior and a reward for the good behavior.
Yes, that's all we allow is praising or a reward, and for a food reward or a retrieve reward or a tennis ball reward. Or,
so no yelling at the dog, using a gruff voice with the dog, shouting no at the dog?
No, none of that, none of that. Never tell them what not to do. They can't understand that. You can tell them what to do by getting them to do it and paying them just as they finish. Then they understand it. Otherwise, you can forget it. You're making them do something, it'll take you 10 times longer.
Amazing. Tell us about nutrition.
50% of dogs die of cancer is what he was...
50% of dogs die of cancer by taking half a cup of kibble out of their dog food 3 times a week and exchanging it for raw vegetables, raw fruit, whatever. You can decrease that from 50 out of 100 dying down to 5 or 10 out of 100 dying.
By increasing...
Yeah,
say that one more time.
By taking half a cup of dry kibble out and adding half a cup of raw fruit, raw vegetables.
But how many times a week?
3 times a week
Three
is
times
all.
A week.
Mm-hmm. And you'll decrease their cancer rate by how much?
It'll cut it down to 5 to 10 dogs out of 100 versus 50 dogs per 100.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, what about some of the dog food? Now, I had a dog that died of cancer.
But what certain vegetables, too, are the best?
The vegetables, peas, carrots, green beans.
Broccoli,
asparagus. Okay. They love asparagus. They love... Mandy, come over
and
here.
Fruit,
Mandy's actually taking
apples.
A course, and she's becoming certified in canine nutrition.
Okay. Now, I had a dog that died of cancer, and then I had another dog that I think had cancer of the liver or something. I lost a couple of them, and I'm hearing more and more. Is there contaminated dog food we're getting from overseas as well, or stuff being sprayed on the meat to preserve it before it goes to the processing plant? Why are so many dogs getting cancer? Is it the vaccinations? Too many? What do you say?
From what the study looked like, it kind of suggests, and I don't know for sure, but it kind of suggests that because most of the dog's serotonin levels and where they end up releasing a lot of their happy sensations are their gut itself. Mm-hmm. So instead of their brain. So if you're fed the same thing every single day over and over and over for 15 years of your life, you're not releasing as many of those happy chemicals. So I don't know if that has something to do with the fact that it's keeping them more engaged in eating. Our dogs, when they know it's strawberry day, they go crazy. They can see us chopping up the strawberries to put on it.
Aren't there certain fruits and vegetables though that you have to that you have to avoid?
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm. Mandy, you know those more than I do.
Yeah, because I know some can be more toxic almost to dogs,
yeah,
can't they?
Yeah, like anything with seeds, like grapes for sure.
Okay.
Don't give a dog grapes.
Right.
No grapes. No,
right.
They're
or
toxic.
Or prunes.
No
prunes.
Or plums.
Or plums.
I mean,
I'm sure
we can any
research
dried
that.
Fruit
I'm gonna do that.
At all.
So what do we not give them?
No seeds, like apple seeds, pomegranate seeds, anything like that. No grapes, no dried fruits, because there's a lot of sugar in those. They can have fresh strawberries, fresh blueberries, celery, asparagus, basically everything she said, carrots, things like that.
You know, I was saying to my wife last week, I know of people that feed their dogs no dog food ever. They feed them, they boil rice and hamburger meat
and green beans
and do that for them every day, and these dogs live forever. We know people have done this, and yet here we are buying this stuff at the store, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. These dogs are living longer on boiled rice, hamburger meat, and green beans.
It's telling you something.
Yeah.
So.
It's telling us something. All right. So we have seen these dogs do this. This is fun. How many hours a day are you doing this?
12.
12 hours a day. Now, what about people who don't have the benefit of living in your backyard? They can still order. Go to Duck Hill Kennels, and they can order a dog from you, pick a dog from you, and they can also learn about training. And you say you're doing these classes. Do they pay and can take this class online from anywhere in the country?
Online class, free on Zoom.
It's free?
Yes.
And you're the one teaching it?
Yes, I do a two-day class once a month on a Friday, Saturday. At the same time I'm doing the class, it's being Zoomed through Zoom, and it's free. All you have to do is go. You can get the sign-up the announcements at the Facebook group called Absolutely Positively Gun Dog Training. We notify on that and on DuckHillKennels.com.
DuckHillKennels.com. That's amazing.
That's great.
That's a great. So,
I need to refresh.
Does Delta need a refresher course? She might, but I think she's perfect.
Y'all need a refresher.
Yeah,
course.
We need a refresher course.
The dog's not the problem.
I know, it's us.
It's those of us who spoil it rotten.
That dog is smarter than you ever had an inkling of.
You know, I will say this. The one thing about our dog, Delta, is she is so affectionate. She's probably the most affectionate lab. I've had about four of them. She's the most affectionate lab. You agree to that?
Oh, definitely.
Most affectionate lab.
The little puppy was kissing on all those. That's
she
what
kisses
she does.
Nonstop.
That's
I get in bed at night, and she wants to cuddle right up next to me, lay her head on my chest, and will spend hours till I roll over with her head on my chest. And if she doesn't have that, if I roll over, she'll lay with her head on my back or on my legs. She wants to know that I'm there. The most affectionate dog, when she brings me coffee in the morning, because Delta will get up with her, and when she brings me coffee in the morning, as she did this morning, she does every morning, Delta jumps on the bed and kisses all over me and then just plops
then
right down next to me.
She howls. She does.
She howls when I leave. She cries and mourns.
It's a horrible. It sounds like she's sick or something, you know?
She's like, I'm so
the
sad.
Question yeah, it's is, actually sad. How on earth could someone see an animal like that and think they have to make them do something? All they've got to do is communicate to the dog what they want, and the dog, Delta would do it, whatever you can communicate to her that you want, she will do, I'm quite sure.
Well, I know this to be true because I have taken her out in the backyard and I've thrown one of these soft frisbees, not the hard frisbees, the soft one, and she wouldn't catch it. And when she doesn't catch it, I don't say anything because I've learned from you. I just let her bring it back to me. And then I throw it again. And when she leaps up in the air and grabs that frisbee and comes down, I just clap and hoop and holler. And she then, from then on, learned. And when she doesn't hustle and doesn't get it, I don't say anything. But when she catches it midair and does these beautiful spins and grabs that thing like at a gymnast, I hoop and holler. And you can see it in her face that she's so
she's
happy that
herself.
She did what I wanted her to do. So the bottom line, labs are so easy to train because they want to please their master. Is that right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Are they the best dog to train? Is it the easiest dog you've ever trained as a lab?
Yes, yes. Well, they've been around since the 1500s. They're the longest working breed, nearly except maybe sheepdog, herding dogs.
Why do you like, now, Delta's my first British lab. All my other labs have been American labs. Why do you like the British labs? I love her because she's a smaller size. She seems to be just a really healthier dog, too. But why is he like the British labs?
They're smaller, they're smarter, they're easier to train. That's the dog we started with in the 20s and 30s when we imported Labradors, we Americans, from England. That's where they came from. And when we got some over here, we started breeding them to go faster and to be bigger. And that makes it more difficult for them to lose heat. It cuts back on their stamina.
So the American lab came out of the British lab.
Yes, definitely.
I think we've got a name on one of the puppies for one of our kids wanting their own lab. But, folks, this has been a real treat. I hope you have appreciated this because, again, what we're showing you here is not only how to maybe train your dog at home, but what it goes into training a dog, but also the national security aspect of these dogs and bomb-sniffing dogs and search and rescue dogs. Mr. Robert, as we conclude here, we're in a weird time in America where the entrepreneur, the person involved in the free market system, is now considered a bad person, an evil person. But reality is what you do not only provides a living for yourself and your family and these young ladies here, but it provides great enjoyment for families that get your dog, whether it's a dog for companion or it's a dog for hunting. But it also is providing dogs for saving lives and for national security. Mm-hmm. Aren't we living in a strange world when people don't understand that it's the free market system and offering a supply and offering a service has allowed you to make a living, allowed them to benefit from that living, but all allows us as individuals to benefit also from a national security standpoint. And isn't it a shame that someone that bought 200 acres, put your capital at risk to offer this to people, is seen as somehow a bad person? But that's what's coming to America, isn't it?
It's been 50 years of spending a lot of money and doing a lot of hard work, but I enjoy what I'm doing. And I'm doing something that's good. And that's what fulfills me. And I'll keep doing it till I fall over.
Well, and your dogs, frankly, are saving lives. Search and rescue dogs are saving lives. Bomb-sniffing dogs are saving lives. So what you're doing is also not only as a free market entrepreneur businessman, you're serving your country as well.
The most valuable thing, in my perspective, and I think many people's perspective, the most valuable thing I can do is serve my country. and I've spent a lot of time and work doing that, and I plan to continue it.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been great to be with you. Thank you. And I've enjoyed this. Have you?
Yes, I've enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope you guys will go to duckhillkennels.com. I got that right? Duckhillkennels.com. You can take his free training class. You'll find the appointments when they're set up there at duckhillkennels.com. You can order a dog. They can ask for either one of you, right? You're the one that answers the phone. I know that when I picked up Delta, you were the one that was there that night and waited for us, stayed up open late. We had April, who died of having seizures, and we were just beside ourselves when she died that night. She had so many seizures, we had to have her put to sleep there on the porch. I called you up. I said, I need a yellow female dog now. I couldn't make it through the night without replacing. It was a great way to deal with the grief, you know what I'm saying, to get another one right away. And so I called you. You said, yes, I have one female. You showed me a picture online. I said, I'm on my way. You stayed open. You showed us the clicker and the mat, and she was so cute. And we got her, and she's been a treat. And people over the country and the world have seen her on camera. So thank you for giving us Delta. And thank you for giving us of your time. And yeah, folks, I hope you'll again go to duckhillkennels.com. Check it out. Order a dog. And if you get a dog from Duck Hill Kennels, let us know. Send us a picture. We'd love to let folks know that your dog came from the great state of Tennessee, outside of Somerville, Tennessee. So thanks for tuning in. Check out duckhillkennels.com. Well, till next time, I'm Brandon House.
And I'm Melissa Kay.
Take care.